This is Fresh Air. I'm Artie Moskowain. Before war came to Sarajevo, Zlata Filipovic lived a life much like that of many middle-class kids in the U.S. Her mother was a chemist, her father a lawyer. Zlata went to school, watched TV, and considered joining the Madonna fan club. But in the spring of 1991, when Zlata was 11, her secure life began to fall apart. During the past 2.5 years, Zlata kept a diary of her life in a city under siege. Last summer, Zlata's teacher in Sarajevo had UNICEF publish her students' diaries. A French photographer took a copy of Zlata's diary to Paris and later returned to Sarajevo with an offer to publish the book and help rescue the family. Zlata and her parents got out of Bosnia in December and were taken to France, where the diary became an instant bestseller. It's now been published in the U.S. Zlata is in New York today. Tomorrow, she'll be in Washington testifying before a congressional committee. She told me what her life in Sarajevo was like before the war.
I like to go to school because of old friends, and I like to have the friends and to go out. And I like going to music school. I like skiing and playing tennis and go swimming. I just like normal things.
Before the war, did Serb and Croat and Muslim children play together in Sarajevo?
Well, I didn't know, are they Serbs or Croats and Muslim? We played together and it wasn't important. It was just important that we are good and all of us, that we are good friends.
So no one cared who was a Serb, who was a Croat and who was a Muslim?
No, it wasn't important, and for me it will never be.
When did you first become aware that there was a war going on in Bosnia?
Well, first it was in Slovenia, then in Croatia, and everyone talked about that now the winds of war blow towards Bosnia, and it was logical that it will be, but I couldn't believe that it will be in Sarajevo.
Did you hear about reports on television or on the radio? When did you begin to hear about the war?
Well, the war in Slovenia started in summer 1990. And then I hear, but my parents didn't let me to watch TV. They said it's too horrible for me. I'm young for those kind of things. But I knew everything. They couldn't hide it for me.
When were the first signs then that the fighting had come to your city, Sarajevo?
The 5th of April. Then I've heard first shells, first bullets, the first dead people, and that was the real beginning of war.
Where was the fighting? You said you heard the shells and the bullets. Where was the fighting taking place?
Well, in the beginning it was only in the old part of town, but after it came to my part, to center, and then to new parts and everywhere.
When the shelling started and when you began to hear some of the fighting, where would you and your family go to be safe?
We go to our cellar, which I never knew before the war, because it was ugly place. It was for that where the witches and ghosts live. It wasn't place for me. I'd rather go outside and play on the sun. But then I have to go to that cellar because it was the only safe place where I could hide from death, because death is outside, and it was the only place. After also it looked warm and nice because it was the only safe place.
Would you hide in a certain corner? Was there a certain safe spot in the cellar?
Well, yes, we call it safe corner. Well, you try to find some safe corners, but nowhere is safe. Sometimes there were also some cases where the people died in cellar. The shell fell into the cellar. So you never know. Well, it looks, it seems like the safest place, but sometimes there were some cases.
Now, how close did the shelling come to your parents' apartment?
Well, it was in a roof, in just house by us, and in the front of our house. And we had the bullets on our roof, in our flat, in our garden, behind the house, so we had everywhere around our house.
Were windows broken in your house?
Yeah, of course. Well, that's the smallest thing that can happen.
There was a room in your parents' house, in your parents' apartment, where the piano was. But that was considered a very dangerous room. Why?
Well, it was open and the two sides were outside and two walls were inside. So it was open because some bullet or some shrapnel can go in. And also during the winter it was very cold inside. So it was one, we could say, dangerous room.
But you used to play the piano in there sometimes?
Sometimes. Well, during the winter time it was quite peaceful, but then it was cold, so I can go just 5 minutes and then go to the wood stove to heat my fingers.
Now, you were in school when the war broke out. You were in fifth grade, is that right?
Yes.
When did it get too dangerous to go to school?
Well, the first day, 5th of April, then it was a Sunday, and then 6th of April, I couldn't go, so my last day in school was 3rd of April, 1992.
And you didn't go to school for how many months then?
Well, I didn't go to school 1 year, till April 1993. And then I went to school, and I finished one school year from April to August.
What did you do all day if you didn't go to school, and it was probably too dangerous to go outside? How did you occupy yourself?
No, it was dangerous. I didn't get out 5 months in the beginning. So I spent all time in the house and sometimes with my neighbors and with adults and with one cat in the neighborhood. Then I read a lot and I sometimes played piano and I write diary and that. It was in the same time everything, but it was also boring.
Boring, and I can imagine boring. Did you stay in contact with friends?
Yeah, well, some, all of our friends went in the beginning, so we didn't have contact with them. And I only knew that my best friend is still in town, but she was on the other side of river. So I haven't seen her since from April till September 1992.
And I guess the electricity would come and go. The phone lines were probably down as well.
Yeah, the phone stopped working 2nd of May, 1992. And since then, we didn't have anything, any phone. And the electricity, we had it maybe first month, too. And then after we didn't have it anymore.
What did your family do for food? And as the war dragged on, I imagine it was harder and harder to get food.
Yes, well, before the war, just few days people talk about it and all the people went into the markets and bought a lot of food, so we buy just a little bit. We thought and it will be just 2 or 3 days and then it's finished, so we had just a little bit of food when the war started and we ate everything. And after till July 1992 we didn't have anything, and then in July the humanitarian aid started coming.
So you were hungry?
Yeah, we were hungry. Sometimes my mother, she was very bad when I told her, "Mommy, what will I eat? I'm hungry." So she don't know. Sometimes she cried because she don't know what to give me.
When you say that, does that mean there was nothing to eat in your house?
Well, sometimes. Or something that it's so bad that you really can't eat it.
Hmm. What did you miss the most in terms of eating? What did you even have fantasies about eating?
Well, I had really fantasies because I eat a lot before the war. And then I missed a lot of food and hamburgers, pizza, Coca-Cola, and it was really in dreams.
I'm speaking with Zlata Filipovic, and she's a little girl in Sarajevo who kept a diary of the war there. The book is now, or her diary is out in a book now called Zlata's Diary, A Child's Life in Sarajevo. Could you see snipers from your apartment window?
No, I could see only bullets.
So you would see bullets, what, coming right by the window or hitting perhaps a house or the sidewalk near you?
Yeah, hitting or in the window. Sometimes there were one passed near my head when I was in my room, so I keep it like a souvenir now.
And how close did it come to your head?
I don't know, maybe 10 centimeters.
Were there snipers firing every day?
Yes, every day, and shells every day, but snipers constantly, every second you can hear it.
You had a friend, Nina, who was killed by a sniper, is that right?
Yeah, well, she was killed by the shell, 7th of May 1992, and she went out with a lot of other kids, and they called me also that morning to play, because it was nice day, and it wasn't so big shooting. And they wanted to show to those bad people that they want to play, they want to live normal lives. And they went out, and then after just a few minutes after, it was big shell. And all of them were wounded, and she was mostly hard wounded, and then she died.
Have you had many friends die in Sarajevo?
Well, I had one cousin. Well, not so close cousin, but and one cousin when we went out, cousin of my mother died, and Nina. But I think one is enough. One is too much.
Oh, sure. When you heard that your friend Nina had died, and you said you were invited to play with the children that day?
Yeah.
Why didn't you go?
Well, my mother, she was afraid. She said it's too quiet. Who knows, maybe one moment something can happen, and it really happened.
You also write about a neighbor who, before the war, was very concerned with cleanliness and keeping everything neat and tidy. And once the war began, she wasn't able to do that. And she hung herself, is that right?
Yes, and also she waited the convoy to get out of Sarajevo. And so many times she went on the station, they said, well, I'm sorry, you can't go. And it was too much for her. And especially she didn't have any detergent or anything for cleaning, so really it was too much for her, so then she hanged herself.
So you're really seeing the war when you were in before you left Sarajevo breaking people's hearts.
Yes, a lot of people also hanged themselves or to the suicide, people who couldn't get used to the war.
One time in your diary you write about killing yourself, or at least you thought about it. Were you serious?
Well, no. I it was days. Probably we didn't have water, electricity. It was big shooting. I haven't eaten anything hot all day, 2 days, I think. And it was everything together in me mixed. So I wanted to tell somebody, like somebody will hear me. Stop this war. I will kill myself, but it was just like somebody will hear me.
Zlata, we're going to take a very short break and then come right back. And my guest is Zlata Filipovic, and she kept a diary from September 1991 to October 1993 about Sarajevo, where she lived. She has since left Sarajevo and lives in Paris. Her diary has been turned into a book called Zlata's Diary, A Child's Life in Sarajevo. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Zlata Filipovic, and we're talking about what it was like to live through the siege of Sarajevo. You complain in your diary about the politicians, and you blame them for causing the war. You also refer to them as the kids. Why?
Well, because they're playing just like kids. Like, this will be my part of territory. This will be my, these are my people. These were always my people. But they're just playing, and their games are dangerous. Their games are killing, separating. Their games are really, really dangerous, and they must be stopped.
Do other kids call the politicians the kids?
Well, I don't know. This about kids, it was my idea. Just one day, I thought that when I saw them on television just quarreling, I said, well, they're just like kids, and after I used that word very often.
Did you feel you had to be strong for your parents?
Well, I have to. In the beginning, I cried and I see my parents. They were very worried about me. Then after I said I'm strong, I won't cry because it's also bad for them, so I won't cry.
Were there times they thought they should send you away, thinking that you'd be safer somewhere else?
Well, yes, in the beginning, when all the children went out, they also wanted to send me alone. But I didn't want. Then it was possibility that I go with my mother. But again, didn't want because we will leave my father there. And it seems that we had a bad part, but we spent it together. And now we are out together. So it's a big thing because for families which are separated, it's so big tragedy.
Did you think your parents could protect you from the war?
Well, I don't know, it's too heavy. I thought, well, maybe in some fairy tales it happened, but this was reality, this was bad life. They were not strong enough.
What did you do? We talked about what you had to do to find food. What did your family do to keep warm, knowing that there were days and weeks on end when you didn't have any electricity?
Well, we had one old furniture, few things from old furniture in our attic. So when the war started, we have to burn something. So we used that old furniture. It's from my grandparents. And we also find some very old wood stove, but it was useful, and we use it for heating and also for making food.
My guest is Zlata Filipovic, and we're talking about a diary that she kept for 2 years in Sarajevo. She began the diary before the war broke out and kept it while the war continued. Now, you've been called the Anne Frank of Sarajevo. Did you read her diary? Have you read her diary?
Yeah, I read her diary before the war in my country. I just saw it in a bookstore and I bought it because I was interested in that book. It's quite a famous book. And when I read it, I thought it's terrible what happened to her and probably a lot of other Jewish children. And that everyone should read her diary and to know what happened and how the war is a terrible thing and that people should never make that mistake of war again.
Do you like being called the Anne Frank of Sarajevo?
No, because I think everyone is person for himself, so it's just, she was Anne Frank, I'm Zlata, and it was a war against Jewish people, and this is or against Anne Frank like a person. But this is a war against all the children, or the children in Sarajevo, in Bosnia, or good, normal children.
Now, you and your parents left Sarajevo in December of 1993. How were you able to get out?
Well, we get out by the help of a publisher, French publisher who has a right for whole world, and by the help of French government, they get us out. Otherwise, it's impossible to get out. You must have somebody very strong outside who guarantee for you.
Did you fly out, or how did they physically get you out of the city and then out of the country?
Well, they get us first by the car of UN to the airport, and then by the French military plane, which brings food to Ancona in Italy, and then from Italy to Paris by a plane, normal plane.
What kinds of things could you take with you when you left Sarajevo?
We could take only one suitcase, so it was big problem. It was very hard to choose from a full house, and it was just a little bit, just a few things. And I took some of my favorite teddy bears and some books and just a little bit of clothes, because everything is small for me, so I didn't have so much problems with clothes. And then I closed my suitcase and it was it.
So what did you leave behind?
I leave, first of all, a lot of people, which I love, all my family, my grandparents, my uncle and his family, my aunt and their families, a lot of people, my best friend, a lot of neighbors. And then after I leave my house and I leave my small things, which made me Zlata and made my room and just small things.
The family and friends that you left behind, have you been in touch with them since you've left Sarajevo?
Well, sometimes we can send them letters, but we have, through journalists while living for Sarajevo, but we have only one letter from them since all these 2 months. And also sometimes we can call them through Switzerland, because Switzerland can call Sarajevo. So we call Swiss Post and they connect us and the people in Sarajevo, so we know that they're alive.
What do they tell you about the war?
Well, we had only time to talk. They said, when we talked with them, when it was big massacre on a marketplace, and they said, well, we are still alive, it's okay. They weren't so upset with it. They were more the people from outside, me and my family were crazy because we know it's 20 meters from a house of my grandparents, so we were crazy about it. But when we called them, they said, well, all of us are okay, I'll go, but what's next?
You've become kind of famous. You have this book that people are talking about. Your face has been on the cover of magazines. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's very strange for me because I just started my diary when I was 11. I had a normal life. I could never imagine that it will be war, especially not that my diary will be published and that I will become so famous. So it's a bit strange for me.
Do you like it, or is it just too strange to understand it yet?
Well, I don't like it a lot. It's also in the same time very difficult because I'm only 13 and I must talk about very serious things, and I must have I think a big responsibility, and it's difficult for somebody who is 13.
What do you think your responsibility is?
Well, I must talk every time about Sarajevo. I must get through everything, and every time when I talk about it, I get through everything, through the death of Nina, through the when we didn't have electricity, water, through the pain because I left my parents, so it's difficult.
Do you still keep a diary?
Well, not now, because now I don't have time because we are traveling everywhere. But it's interesting now. It would be nice to again talk with Mimi, but I don't have time. But as soon as possible, when I go to school, I will continue.
Let me just ask you one more question. Where did you learn to speak English so well?
I learned in Sarajevo. I was never somewhere where the people speak English. It's just watching MTV and watching movies and learning till I was 4.
Well, you speak very well.
Thank you.
And Zlata, thank you very much for joining us today and talking about what I know is a very, very difficult thing for you to talk about. So thank you.
Welcome.
Zlata Filipovic's diary has been published in the States called simply Zlata's Diary. I'm Marty Moskowain, and this is Fresh Air.